Welcome back to Friar Talk, everyone. We are recording Sunday night after another Padres series victory against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Great series. Chase, or I don't know if Chase was in that stream, but last Sunday we talked about this. And Isaac, me and you were talking about it. Hey, this next week, if you can go 3-of-3 against the Cubs and the Dodgers, that's a huge win. Padres do go 4-of-2, but more importantly, they win both of those series. And honestly, like, there was, I mean, they also got walked off on by the Cubs in a game they easily could have stolen. But yeah, man, it's looking good. I mean, it was a really good series. Yu Darvish has been phenomenal this year. I was always confused by this, but people were really concerned about Yu Darvish. Like, they were just like, oh, is Yu Darvish, like, this contract going to be a mess or whatever? I never got that. And I think, I don't know if we talked about this recently, but I know that at least Isaac, you and I talked about it like off air or whatever, but I don't know why people were so concerned about Yu Darvish. Like, he didn't have the best year last year, but you look at his contract. Yeah, if he gets old and he's not playing, that's when it's an issue. But Yu Darvish has been an extremely healthy player for a long time now. When he was younger, he kind of got hurt quite a bit. But at the end of the contract, and Hax is asking right here, at the end of the contract for Darvish, it's like $15 million. And what do we see today? It's the bump game. He goes out there. He goes 7 scoreless innings. So he's an MVP of this series. I think the other guy that needs to be an MVP, and Isaac, you and I talked about this. And when we were talking about this series, like what we thought was going to happen, we're like, hey, the Padres are probably going to take this Sunday game. We think they'll do decent off Bueller. We think Darvish is cruising. And you know, the other two games are tough. But if they are going to win it, this is what we said. We said if they are going to win it, they're going to need – also, you're muted, Isaac. If they are going to win it, you're going to have to have one of these games where Waldron or King throws that one of them needs to be really good. And you know who was really good?
Michael King.
Dude, he was ridiculous. That sinker was disgusting. He was phenomenal. So they end up taking two of these games. The offense, there's a lot to still like wish from the offense. Like even today, like you see the power and stuff, but they left a lot of guys in scoring position. But even then, the pitching was so good that they ended up winning. So that's, I think, the biggest takeaway in this series. But dude, how are you feeling? I mean, I feel like it was better than we were expecting. We were hoping like take that Sunday game. That's the most reasonable one. But the pitching matchups are tough. You take one against Glasnow, and Glasnow destroyed the Padres.
Dude.
Also, shout out Luis Campusano in that game as well, because he had the two super clutch hits.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, Campusano was probably the MVP of that game. I'm probably Michael King. I'm not going to lie, man. Michael King looked fantastic. I was kind of skeptical because I know that he kind of struggled his first two go-arounds against the Dodgers, but this time, bro, he was throwing frisbees, dude. I don't know how many pitches I ended up seeing of his ended up being on Pitch Ninja. I want to say it was at least 3 or 4. They looked like frisbee. They were starting on the inner half of the plate, ending on the outer half. It was phenomenal, the stuff that he had on Friday night. Struck out, I don't know, 10 plus hitters, didn't allow a run. I mean, this guy was dealing, bro. That was some of the best pitching we've seen this season. And really, this whole past week was some of the best pitching we've seen all season. I forgot the stat. I'm going to look at it here soon, but they set a record or something, or they tied a record for something that hasn't been done for a long time. I'm going to check it out here soon. But Yu Darvish goes 7 strong today. Took a no-hitter into the 5th or the 6th. Looks phenomenal doing it. Absolutely dealing. All of his stuff looked good. He was even throwing fastballs down the middle, and they were just like, they couldn't touch him. He just looked confident on the plate today. And really, in his last 3 starts, I believe he has a 0 ERA in his last 3 starts. So you couldn't be happier with what you're getting out of Yu Darvish right now. Of course, Dylan Cease, you're happy with that. I know he didn't pitch this series, but going up and down the rotation, Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, hopefully Joe Musgrove soon when he's healthy, Randy Vasquez, all these guys, you're getting pretty good stuff out of them. The only one you're not getting too much good stuff of, and even he did have a really good start yesterday, bro. I'm not gonna lie, he did really good, is Matt Waldron, but he has his starts here and there, and he looked good. Of course, yeah, you're right, Matt. We do wish for more from the lineup, but for me, as long as they're having a bunch of timely hitting, and you saw it today, where in the first inning, Fernando and Jake kind of just jumped on Walker Buehler and put the pressure on the Dodgers early. After that, it was smooth sailing for the Padres. It was really easy for them. After that, all the pressure was on the Dodgers, and I think the main thing this series was the Padres were able to keep the 1-5 hitters in check. The 1-5 hitters for them is the best in all of baseball right now, and it's really not even that close. That consisting of Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, and Teoscar Hernandez, and Max Muncy, you can even include in there somewhere. But that is the best 1-5 in all of baseball right now, and they held them to, I believe, under a, if not under a 250 average, if not under a 200 average, then under a 250 average. So that was an aspect of why the Padres were so good this series, man. They were able to contain that Dodgers lineup and show them that, you know, this pitching can be as good as we thought it was going to be in coming into the season. But you go up and down that Dodgers lineup and you're scared of pretty much the first five names. And then the last four, James Outman, Kike's in there. I don't know what happened to Chris Taylor. I didn't see him this series. Who else is there? Gavin Lux. You're not scared of any of those guys. So all you really need to do is handle the top five. And that's exactly what the Padres did. And I know they put up, the Dodgers put up five runs in the second game, but I think that grand slam, in that grand slam, only one of those runs were off of a hit. The other two were either walked or I think a hit by pitch. I forgot. But I mean, other than that grand slam that was allowed, the Padres looked fantastic, man. That pitching staff was phenomenal this weekend, and they deserve all the credit.
Yeah, dude, and you're looking at it right now, and obviously Dylan Cease is not, has not played the Dodgers, right?
They're lucky.
But yeah, they're lucky that he hasn't played them. But Darvish and Cease right now sitting at under a, they're sitting at a sub 2.5 ERA, and you watch them pitch and it's like, oh no, they're not getting lucky and having good defensive plays. No, the dudes are pitching insane. And the last few starts from each of them have been phenomenal. I love that right there. I mean, and I think this, like we talked about it before, where it's like, dude, this, you know, they're gonna need the starters to be really good. We're gonna see what happens with Joe Musgrove. But outside of him, I think you're sure you have two guys there, right? And then you're hoping Musgrove comes back and is all right. And then Michael King. We talked about this before, and we've ripped on Michael King because it's been like, dude, it's really up and down. But we've talked about this when we've brought him up. We've talked about both sides of it, and I don't know if anyone's going to argue with this because I think everyone's seen it. When he's on, he looks ridiculous, and he's had a couple games this year. He had the no-hit bid, right? When he's been on, it's absurd. The problem is when he's not on and he can't find control, it gets a little scary. Now, we talked about Matt Waldron a little bit. We didn't think he was going to do that great. Hey, he had a good outing. Props to him. Absolutely. However, we talked about Randy Vasquez. Randy Vasquez, another one of those guys. Like, hey, like if he can get his control better, he might end up being a pretty solid fifth starter. So there's a lot of guys where it's like there's some question marks in the rotation. But the top guys are some of the top guys in the MLB. And they're going to carry the Padres. We're going to really need just a continuation of what these early seasons have been from Dylan Cease and Yu Darvish. The bullpen kind of been up and down a little bit. You see it's clutch sometimes. Obviously, Robert Suarez, insane, absolutely insane. And then we go to the lineup. All right, so what about this lineup? Cronenworth today hits a nuke. Cronenworth has been amazing. He has over an 850 OPS. Tatis, he hit that ball. Dude, that was ridiculous.
That was shat on.
Dude, it was also like it was paint too. That was the other thing. It was like outside, like very low and outside, and he took it 440 something. That it was destroyed.
Oh yeah.
So that one, I mean, Tatis, like I think he's gonna be fine. Like we've talked about him. I don't think it's an issue. Profar, he might slow down a little bit, but he's been really good up to this point. If he can have somewhat of the season he's had up to this point, that'd be amazing. And then you have the other upgrades. Campusano, he's been better, right? Jackson Merrill, he's been a lot better than Trent Grisham. Arias, right? He's been really good. I mean, he had the walk-off also. We didn't even bring that up yet, but he had the walk-off.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't know if you felt like this, dude. When he came up, I was like, oh, he's walking it off. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure. I had a good feeling
from this
about
dude right
it.
Now, he's walking mm-hmm. it off. That's how I felt. So, yeah. mm-hmm. And you're feeling this lineup looks so much more complete than past years, which is really clutch. And I'm very, very happy. And when we talked about the – it's more – you pronounce the name Arias, right? I always say Arias, but it's Arias.
Arias, yeah.
Yeah. Whenever, when we were talking about that trade, right, it goes through, and we're like, dude, the thing is, this is what they need. They need a lefty hitter that – they needed one more lefty hitter. They need someone to fill that DH infield spot. And we talked about Brandon Belt so much. I don't mind them going and trading for a guy they think is going to be a lot better. That's of course, it's totally fine. But it was yeah. That's why we brought up Brandon Belt so much because it's like that's the need. So I think that's massive they brought him in. I think we're going to continue to see some clutch time hits from him. I don't remember what he went today, but he was hitting 400 in a Padre uniform like a day or two ago. So he's been awesome. And then it's like, okay, well, what's going wrong? Well, you got Manny Machado and Xander Bogart slumping. And I saw this up here. Where is it? Cause I think this is 100%. Here we go. David over here. If Manny and Bogey were hitting well, we'd be five games above 500. 100%. Absolutely. And they're not. Bogart's today hit a home run. That was really nice to see some pop from his bat. He had two hits. Manny, he kind of struggled in this one. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big thing. And you're hoping like the historic numbers tell you they're going to bounce back. But it is true. Like when you watch them, they were both struggling a lot. Like they look pretty bad at the plate. But even then, this team sent a game above 500. And we're about to get into that part of the schedule where the Padres need to take advantage of playing against much lower opponents. Like, dude, leave this eight games above 500 in a month or so, and we're going to feel really good about this team. Have a 3-4 game cushion on the wild card spot. Like, that's what I want to see from this team. And that's why I want to feel like, okay, you got some momentum. You're going into this. And then, Isaac, we talked about it. The Arise trade, right? They didn't really take on any salary in that one. So swing something else. Oh, you're worried about the fifth starter? Swing for another starter. You want another bullpen piece? Swing for that. So they're going to be in a good spot if they can do that. And a lot of it are going to be if these two dudes can heat up too, because that's going to make the line. If they heat up, the lineup's going to get ridiculous. That's the other thing. But I don't know, dude. I'm feeling good about it. I'm excited about it. Also, good news from Ha-Sung Kim. His wrist is all right. So yeah, it's not broken. The x-rays were negative. I saw some people asking about that. But yeah, dude, it's been awesome. So it was a great series. I mean, I feel like people have been like feeling like we're just like super negative about the team. I don't really feel like we have been. Dude.
I don't feel like we have been. I mean,
like we were about certain aspects, right? But like,
oh yeah, I mean, everyone's gonna be negative about certain aspects. Like when the bullpen is struggling for a little bit for a certain period of time, yeah, there's reason to be negative about it. I think it's kind of a consensus that the Padres might need a bullpen arm when it comes to the trade deadline. Preferably maybe a left. I don't even know. I don't care what side of what side they throw from, as long as they're a good bullpen arm. I think that's going to be a pretty, not a big need, but I think it's going to be a need for the Padres behind or right in front of a fifth starting pitcher. And I don't think the fifth starting pitcher's got to be a stud. It's just got to be someone that, you know, can give you some quality innings and around a 4 ERA, and I'll be happy with that. I don't know what Matt Waldron's ERA just went down to, but I mean, he did have a phenomenal outing. And maybe you don't even need a fifth starter by the deadline because you're saying, hey, Waldron looks a lot better. Hey, Vasquez looks like a really good option. Or hey, Brito doesn't need to be in the bullpen anymore. He can be our fifth starter. Hopefully you're looking at the rotation later and you're saying all we need is a bullpen arm and maybe we can get a bat. I don't know, whatever it is, but as of right now, you're looking at Xander Bogaerts and you're saying, and this is just my opinion, if he doesn't turn it on this week, because it's already the middle of May, it's been a month and a half. If he doesn't turn it on this week, you got to think about putting him on the IL. And that's nothing against Xander Bogaerts. I want to see him succeed. And for that reason, I think an IL stint, if he doesn't get hot here soon, especially against a team like the Rockies, you're going to want to see an IL stint because, I mean, it doesn't sound great, right? You're saying, oh, but then we have to plug in some guy off the bench. Donovan Solano is not a bad guy to plug in off the bench. He can play. He can give you 10 days of solid second base, and you'll be happy seeing him out there for those 10 days until you feel like Xander Bogaerts is right. I don't know. That's just my opinion because I want to see Xander Bogaerts get right, and I just think that, you know, consistently getting those at-bats and I don't know, his mentality, I feel like he needs a little bit of time to get right. But I mean, going back to this Dodger series, man, you're super happy with what you got out of this team, right? Like you're looking at the starting rotation. You're saying this starting rotation just shut down the best lineup in baseball. We talked about the numbers that the Dodgers were putting up before the season or before this series. They had been blowing out the next best team in OPS by like 40 or 50 points. They had been doing that. They've been insane all season. They won 14 of their last 16 going into this series. So yeah, man. I mean, we caught them at the wrong time, but we just kind of burnt their fire. So I was very happy. I mean, that game that you beat Glasnow and you stole that one. And that was a game that past Padre teams usually would not steal. That was a game that they put up two runs, but I mean, the Dodgers probably would have blew them out in that kind of game. But really resilient. A lot of resiliency that game where you saw Luis Campusano put up, he had a home run off of 97 up in the zone, Tyler Glasnow pitch, and you were really happy with that. And then you got just a timely hit from Luis Arraez in the bottom of the ninth, ends up being a walk-off, and it swings the momentum in the Padres' way. I know it didn't go their way Saturday, but going into that Sunday game, you just kind of felt like, hey, Yu Darvish is on the mound against a Walker Buehler that's coming off his first start. You're feeling good about that one. You're feeling really, really good about that one. So nonetheless, that ended up coming to fruition where the Padres beat the Dodgers 4-0. The Padres ended up holding the Dodgers to a total of 6 runs in 3 games, averaging 2 runs a game. One of them was a grand slam. I mean, dude, you couldn't be happier with that kind of result. If you're holding the Dodgers to 2 runs a game over a series, odds are you're going to win that series. And, you know, the Dodgers bullpen has been, I don't know if you guys saw the numbers, but they've been the best bullpen in baseball over the last month. And the Padres were still able to go out there and capitalize against the bullpen in the bottom of the ninth in the first game. And then today they put up 2 runs on the bullpen. I believe it was 2 runs on the bullpen. So, hey, you're really happy with what you're getting from this lineup right now. You look up and down and it's Arraez. I know people, the OPS, I'm an OPS type person, but you can't deny the batting average when it's above 310, 320, and he's consistently giving you those 5+ pitch at-bats, quality at-bats, moving guys over, rarely striking out. I mean, sure, the OPS might not be crazy, but I do not give a damn if he's putting the ball in play, if he's not striking out, if he's just the contact hitter that, I mean, we've kind of been talking about the Padres kind of needing. And then you look at Tatis and you're saying, hey, maybe his OPS really isn't there yet. Maybe the average isn't either, but his baseball savant shows that it's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He's one of the unlucky. He's been, over the last year, one of the unluckiest hitters in baseball. So I definitely have a lot of confidence that Fernando's going to bounce back. Then you look at Jake. Jake's fantastic right now. Manny, a lot of people are kind of underestimating Manny. I don't know if anyone's seen his baseball savant recently, but it's not that bad. I think his expected batting average. Yeah, I think it's his expected batting average is like in the 85th percentile. All his numbers are pretty good except for the chase rate, the whiff percentage, and the K percentage, I think. But it's really not that bad in the categories that you want it to be good in. Matt's pulling it up right now, but let's see. It's not that bad. I mean, expected batting average is in, sorry, let me see, 81st percentile? Average exit velo looks good. Everything looks good for Manny, honestly, and I think he's going to be fine. And then obviously Jerks and Profar, you're getting a ton of production from him. Who's batting sixth right now? Oh, Xander. Xander, we just talked about maybe a phantom IL stint being good for him. If he doesn't bounce back, not even bounce back, but get hot this week. Jackson Merrill looks good. Obviously, like he's the same category as Arraez in terms of maybe a, you know, dollar store version, but hits for average. OPS might not be that high because he doesn't hit for a ton of power, but he's finding the holes. And I think most importantly, he's pretty clutch right now. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with what we're seeing from Merrill. Campusano, big old upgrade over Austin Nola. Pretty happy with what we're getting from Campusano. And then Ha-Seong Kim, hopefully we don't see him out for too long of a period of time. He wasn't able to squeeze his hand after getting hit in the wrist today by a 94 mile per hour fastball. So you're definitely scared to see, you know, if he does need an IL stint, but he's not giving you too much production at the plate. But I mean, defensively and on the base paths, he's still doing good. But of course, you want to see more production at the plate. But you're hoping that his wrist is okay for sure.
Yeah, and I think also with the Manny stuff, that's interesting because it almost, what is that telling you? Like I pulled up those numbers real quick. It's telling you, hey, this guy's hitting the baseball hard. He's doing all that good. His at-bats are a little sloppy. Okay, oh, yeah. Well, why could his at-bats be a little sloppy right now? Because he hasn't really got settled in. He just came back. And, like, Manny's already typically a guy that kind of – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this has not been the case, but at least me just, like, thinking about it, I feel like he's been a little bit slower early on. He kind of heats up as the year goes on a little bit more. I've always felt like that with Manny. Like, I feel like he's had a couple years, too, like, on the Padres where it was like, oh, he's starting out slow. It'll be all right. No worries. And that's been the case. I will say though, I do feel like he's had some rough at bats. Like he's looked,
really bad at bats.
And I think that's what it is, where it's like, okay, he's kind of getting back into the groove of things. He hadn't played much. He came into spring like super late. He just started playing third again. Like we should expect him to start a little bit slow, because you brought up the, you know, the fake IL stand with Bogarts, and also he hit a home run today, so that's a good sign, I'm hoping. And he also it wasn't like a little like, oh, he just like popped it out. No, he smoked that ball.
Yeah,
it was a 30 out of 30 park home run ball. Like, he smoked it. And I think that that's that's one where I was like, you brought that up, and I was like, okay, well, what about Manny then? Like, should we say the same thing? But then we bring up Manny's, and it's like, no, Manny just needs more reps. That's what Manny needs right now. That's really what it's coming down to, getting back in the groove of things and doing that. And I think if that happens, he'll be okay. But also, I think one thing, if we're going to kind of critique them a little bit, got to see more capitalization with guys in scoring position. You got to see that. 100%. Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, you didn't really bring it. We didn't really talk about Jackson Merrill too much. He had, what, 3 hits today? 3 hits and 2 stolen bases?
Yeah, he looked really good today.
Dude, he's just a good – just okay. He's a good player, bro. He's a sick guy at the bottom of the order.
Yeah, he's got swag. He's clutch. He's good in the outfield. He's fast. I mean, sure, the power's not there, but he's literally only 20 years old or 21. I don't expect that to come to him quite yet. But, I mean, shoot, everything looks good with Jackson Merrill, bro. I'm really happy to see that the bottom of the lineup consists of Luis Camposano, a guy that we developed, Jackson Merrill, who we developed. Of course, people don't want to give the Padres credit for developing Fernando, but he was developed. Ha-Seong Kim obviously started his career with the Padres. I mean, it's a team that, sure, it's not a team that was super developed from top to bottom, but you're happy with the production you're getting from guys like Camposano and Jackson Merrill, because those are guys that you've kept in the farm system that you were confident in. I mean, it seemed like they wanted to give up on Camposano not that long ago, but now that, you know, he's kind of gotten settled in, he's not that bad behind the plate. You're pretty happy to see him behind the plate on a night-to-night basis. You're not happy to see Higgy. I hate seeing Higgy at the plate. That's just me, though. But yeah, man. I mean, I'm. It's hard to say anything negative when you just beat two playoff teams right now. You took 2 of 3 from both. It's hard to be negative at all. So, I mean, even if you look at the NL playoff picture, like, we got smoked by the Phillies, still have yet to play the Braves, but we've taken series from the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Dodgers, twice from the Dodgers. So, I mean, couldn't really be happier with where the Padres are right now, considering their schedule too.
So then you're heading in, I think the only thing that you can kind of be like, is like, okay, but the record's not that good. And we already talked about this last time, but it's like, look, the record's not that good, but look at who they've played. They've played against really hard teams. They need to be in a spot where they beat up on these bad teams when they play them. And that's going to be where it's like, okay, is this team legit? Cause are they going to take this jump? I talked about this, like, I don't know, at the beginning of the stream, right? You have to take 2 of 3 against the Rockies, right? Or it's just going to feel like, why did you not? Especially because then the next, right after that, you have a 4-game series against the Braves, and then you play the Reds, then you play the Yankees, and then it dies way down. But you need to take 2 of 3, if not all of them, against the Rockies.
I feel like you got to take them all, man. I mean, they just swept the Rangers, so they're a little hot, but I don't really care, bro. I feel like I'm okay with taking 2 of 3. I'm like, it's fine. But really, I'm happy. I'm happy if you sweep them. And I feel like a sweep should be the expectation, considering, you know, I know Randy Vasquez hasn't had too much experience, but he's not pitching in Colorado this time. You got Dylan Cease on the mound for one of them. Michael King's off his best start, or maybe second best start of his Padres tenure. I want to take 3, man. I want to be 4 games over 500 when it comes by the end of this series. And the thing is, I think the thing that has frustrated me the most is that whenever the Padres are a game above 500, they tend to lose the next one, win the next one, lose the next one. And it's just, dude, how come you guys cannot strive past 500, like multiple games, 3, 4, 5? And this is a good chance for us to do it, man. This is a good chance to go 4 games above 500, catch some ground. In the playoff race. And I mean, I know it's only May, it's a little early to be talking playoff race, but we saw last year that even though it was May, those games that they lost ended up being crucial to why they did not make the playoffs. That ended up being a huge difference. So, yeah, it's I know it's early, but you got to start thinking October as soon as possible. And I'm happy that the Padres, they look starved. They look poised to get back to postseason baseball, man. It's a really fun team. It's a much more fun team than last year up to this point. I will say that. And I know last year had the bigger names. They had Soto. They had Josh Hader. They had just extended Suarez, but he didn't start. He didn't really play up until the end. They had Nick Martinez, blah, blah, blah. A bunch of guys that were really good in the 2022 postseason. But that felt like a team that as soon as it was 1-0, whoever they were playing against, that they had lost. And this team, it feels like if it's 3-0, they're still in the game. It feels like if it's, you know, jump out to an early lead, they've blown a couple early leads up to this point, but it feels like right now if they jump out to an early lead, they'll be all right. They've been playing great. They've played clean defense. They've had great at-bats. They've jumped on guys. I mean, they stole a game from a guy like Tyler Glasnow, and they took a game from Justin Steele earlier this week. And did they win or lose the Shota Imanaga game? They lost that one, right? They lost that one game.
They almost came back. I mean, they almost had it.
That was also, they were. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say I didn't bring this up, but I went to Monday and Tuesday. I went out to Chicago, right, dude? And I was telling you this, Isaac. This was insane. This is the most like, because like I'm there, obviously. Like it's, you know, you're the away crowd or whatever. Profar hits the home run. It gets dead silent. Then the Padres they screw up a couple of opportunities to hold the lead and then also score some more runs. And in the top of the ninth, Merrill pops out, right? Inning ends. I don't think you can tell this on the broadcast, but it was crazy. So the half inning starts like a couple seconds. I mean, what's a half inning? Like a minute, like 30 seconds, a minute, right? I think it's like around like 60 seconds, 120.
A half inning? Yeah, it's like 60 seconds to 90.
Like the commercial break. Like they're pretty quick.
Yeah, 60 to 90 seconds.
Sometime in that range, it just starts pouring of rain. And I'm with my buddy who's a Cubs fan, and I'm like, oh, I've seen this one before, bro. Because that's it, you know, you're seeing the home crowd. Everyone's freaking out, going crazy all of a sudden because it just started raining. And then, sure enough, first pitch of the inning, I think it was the first.
Maybe. Oh, my God, that was shit on.
Dude, you couldn't tell because of the way that the camera's angled, but I'm like sitting like more behind home plate. There was a lightning bolt that strikes right above where the home run went and then immediately just goes pop, and you're like, oh, game. Like it was, but it was like, if you're a Cubs fan, it's like the most beautiful ending ever. It was pretty crazy to see, and I was like, yeah, that's a hang with them. That was the baseball gods right there saying, yeah, this is
life's a simulation, bro.
It was crazy, dude, because the fact that the lightning bolt and the rain made it just like, dude, this is like a Disney movie right now. This is what it's turned into here. Like, it was hilarious. So, but it was fun. I went to Monday and Tuesday, so I saw the split, and it was a good time. The inning, what was it, like the sixth inning, I want to say, in the first game where they just single. That was hilarious because that was so like you could feel the aggravation in
Oh, dude, those are annoying, bro.
Yeah, it's just like another one, dude. Like, and it was like also like. Like three of those hits were like because like they were shifted weird. Like one of them, they were in a double play. One of them, like a swinging bunt. It was just like it was, and they were just getting so frustrated. It was awesome, but yeah, it was a fun time. Also shout out right here. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the super chat right here. It says great series win. I was dreading this Cubs Dodgers stretch, but glad to be proven wrong. Ooh, can't talk. Listen to an LA podcast early, and they are bitter right now. I mean, I get it, dude. Like they've looked bad when they've played the Padres this year. So it's they're probably frustrated. Oh, yeah. And it's been the last couple of years where it's like they lose to a team in the division that kind of like has like they have some issues with. So it's like they're probably feeling the same thing. Do they need to freak out? No. Like no one really needs to freak out. We're talking about May baseball. But still, dude, I mean, like I get why you'd be frustrated right now. It's like, dude, they haven't looked good against them. And the Padres pitching has done really good against them for the most part. So yeah.
I wanted to touch on that. It was crazy because Saturday had a sellout crowd, a record-breaking crowd at Petco. A lot of Dodger fans. I know that there's this group that they take a trip to. I don't know if it's every stadium or they take a trip to. I know for sure they take a trip to San Diego every season, and they sit behind the Dodgers dugout, blah, blah, blah. There was a parade in Gaslamp of nothing but Dodger fans in May. So for not being rivals, I don't know. I think that's kind of crazy to do. I haven't seen them do that in San Francisco. That's just me, though. I've never seen them do that anywhere else but in San Diego. And then another thing, you always, whenever a team beats the Dodgers in a series, you always hear people saying, Dodger fans say that this is their World Series. They try so hard against us. First off, I didn't know you were supposed to let off against a World Series contender. But also, Mookie's words before the season started were, every team is going to play us as if it's their World Series. So you guys fucking expect it. You guys know that every team's going to try hard against you. And so, I don't know. I think it's kind of funny that Dodger fans take losses so hard. They take them to heart. And every Dodger podcast or whatever you listen to, when they lose to the Padres, they're not going to be happy. They're going to be really, really, really bitter because we're so happy that we beat them. First off, you're a division rival. Yeah, we're going to be happy we beat you. Second, you guys have spent the most money in the MLB after making fun of us for spending so much money last year, and we still beat you. So, yeah, we're going to be pretty happy about it. I don't know if any Dodger fans are listening, but it's pretty bittersweet. I mean, I'm not really, like, too crazy about beating the Dodgers right now. It's a rivalry. It's fun. It is early also. They are still 5.5 or 6 games ahead of us. Don't really care. I'll care when it's October and if we see them in October. But so far right now, you're really happy to just take a series from a good team. You're not really thinking, oh, we took a series from our division rival. For me, it's more we took a series from a team that was 14-2 in their last 16 games. Best lineup in baseball. One of the best bullpens in baseball, great starting rotation, and we've taken 2 of 3 series from them, split one. But I'm really happy with what we're seeing from the Padres, especially against the Dodgers and teams like the Dodgers right now.
Dude, 100%. Also, I saw this comment right here. Love to see Darvish show.
Oh, my God. I've never seen it before.
Dude, it was sick. It was so sick. It was pumped. I was like, damn. I was like, dude, he's getting absolutely hyped. Also, there's another play that I want to bring up from this series. The Kim double play on Friday night. That was a ridiculous double
dirty
play.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was like such a
bang small, bang, bro.
Yeah, like both of them were so tight. I was like, damn, that was a crazy play. So that was also a really fun moment in this one. Yeah, man, I'm thinking what else we got. Like, I know we'll end up getting some more stuff later this week. I think the thing is you got to take care of business against the Rockies. You got a tough stretch coming up after that, but it's like, you know, you're going to have those. And then after that, it's all right, dude. If this team can if this team plays as good as they've played up to this point, at the end of June, we'll be looking up, or maybe it's like late June or whatever when that like easy stretch is done, and they should be like 5 to 10 games above 500. If they play as good as they've played, that's how we should do. That's how we should be looking at this. So yeah, they can't do not let the foot off the gas, you know, just keep kind of going with what they've done. But it's been a really good start to the season because, you know, after last season, just kind of being such a massive disappointment, I don't even think we talked about this enough, but the opening schedule for this team was like,
dude,
they could be out of it quick. Like if they don't play well. And they've played above expectations so far. And even though you're one game over 500, it's about how they've actually looked. And how they've actually looked is a lot better than I think. I mean, maybe people are just being hopeful. But what an average person that watches a lot of baseball is looking at this team going, okay, well, this is their team. This is who they got. They've played a lot better than that, I feel like. So yeah. There was a lot of question marks. I mean, yeah, Campusano looked like good last year, but he didn't play that much. He's looked pretty damn good this year. Merrill, obviously a rookie. You had some holes in the lineup. You clean him up. You traded for Cease. You know, you did all this different stuff. Michael King, you haven't really seen too much of, and I think he's been about what we thought. Though it's been a very, very high, very lows, you know, a lot of that. But still, like overall, like his overall numbers are about what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Still some holes, stuff like that, but it's been a pretty awesome start this season. Also, yeah, I think the biggest overperformer of expectations is definitely Jake Cronenworth. Insane.
Biggest bounce so. Back. I don't really have too much else to say, man. I mean, the only way you're going to be 5 games over 4 or 5 games over 500 by the time this month is over is if you sweep, have a sweep or two in there. And now is a perfect opportunity for it. You're facing a team that is probably playing their hottest baseball, but that's probably the best baseball they're going to play all year. So you're hoping they kind of just come down to earth this series, but you're also playing some really good baseball, 8-3 in your last 11, looking really good. So if you want to get to that point, looking good at the end of May, saying, hey, we're a couple games over 500, you got to sweep a team like the Rockies before going into that Braves series. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy outside of a 5-game stretch where they lost 5 in a row, which they looked horrendous. You're happy with what you're seeing. Because this isn't what I expected. I was hoping to just hover over 500 until this stretch was over. But now I'm thinking, hey, this team is capable of being a couple games over 500 by the time this tough stretch is over when they get to June and it gets easier. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really happy with what we're seeing right now. It's a team that is a lot more fun to watch than they were last year. Of course, there's some games they've stolen, but there's also some games that they've blown. So, yeah, man, take 3 from the Rockies, honestly. I'll be happy with that.
That'd be sick. All right, guys, thanks for hopping on. Thanks for listening. We'll have some stuff out later this week, and we'll be going live, of course, next Sunday as well. So, yeah, we'll see y'all later. Have a good night. Go Padres. Huge series win.